Well, remember now, a few weeks ago, we did the first two. These are called the five crowns. They're part of the judgment seat of Christ, and that's not about our salvation. It's about basically what we've done, if you will, with what God has given us. And all of us will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing because you're going to see how much your life was worth it all. It's a place of awards, rewards. The only downside, maybe you might be shown something you could have had and you didn't pursue it in your walk. But it's not about your salvation. Because sometimes when you bring a word like this, people go, oh, no, we bound anxiety already, so you should have received that. Don't be anxious. This will be a good thing. And we had done the first two. The crown of rejoicing was the last one we did. So today we're going to talk about the crown of righteousness. And you'll find these scriptures in 2 Timothy Chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. And Paul seemed to have a really good revelation about these because he's the one that these are in his letters to the various churches. So if Paul knew about them, I kind of want to know what he knew. And so the way to do that is to read what he wrote and to glean from that the crown of righteousness. And those are on the board. They're all in the New King James. I kind of like the way they were written. Some are a little different from the King James, but they pretty much follow. And for those of you that are still looking for them in your Bible, this is quicker, of course, but it's good for you to know where they are as well so that from time to time you can come back and refer to them. As for me, this is Paul writing, as for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. And I'd like to stop there and expound on that a little bit. If you're sitting here today, you haven't arrived at this point yet. And that's all I'll say about that. You may be have a lot more years to pour out your life. And always remember this, every time you serve someone, every time you minister someone, every time you do something good, you help somebody. We don't do these things to gain God's favor because we already have his favor through Christ. But along the highway of life, God puts people in our path. Are we with them? And until you've taken your last breath and you haven't poured out all your life yet. And Paul was getting near beheading. And he came to that realization. And he said, as for me, my life has been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. Now, I don't know who tipped him off, but probably the Holy Spirit. And they saw the guard sharpening the sword. Any of the above. Otherwise, it's speculation. But he came to the end of his life. And if you look at all that he did as a believer from the time he became a believer and the blessing that he was and how mighty God used him. But look at your life, too. Look at since you've been saved, how many people you've shared the hope of the gospel with, how many people you've prayed for, how many people you've had opportunities to impart spiritual things by the laying on of hands, how many times you spoke a kind word to somebody, all the little things that can be overlooked by others, but God doesn't overlook any of them. And so you can relate to this. I have fought the good fight. The good fight is the ones you win. I have fought the good fight. The good fight. I have finished the race. Remember, he started out talking about a race and how the runners run for the the thing that's going to deteriorate and rot and fall away, like a wreath or something, and or a crown that's going to never be corrupted and won't fade away. He said, I finished the race. I have remained faithful. That's very bold to be able to say that. And I would just ask you to ponder that in all of your life as a believer. Have you fought the good fight? Because it is a fight to hang on sometimes to things, isn't it? Okay? So the good fight is the one you learn to be an overcomer, because the word tells us that we're overcomers and more than conquerors. It's part of our faith walk. And it's also part of our faith walk to finish the race. Continue until it's the end of the race for you. There's no retiring from this. People ask me when I'm going to retire, and I said, I did 3 years ago. You see my car, I have 3-year-old tires on it. You know, our call lasts until we take our last breath. So in that sense, there's no retiring from that. You hang on and you run the race until it's the end for your life. And who knows when that will be, except the Lord. I finished the race. I have remained faithful. Boy, that's a really big thing with God, is being faithful. Being committed to follow through what you, keeping your word. That is huge with God. Don't make promises you can't keep. Don't say things you can't back up with fact and truth. But be faithful to whatever he's put in your heart to do. Don't try it for a few days and say, well, that ain't working out too well. No, when you know what he's called you to do, you stay in it. You just remain faithful. Even if you seem to be standing alone. There's times that happens in all of our lives, but to remain faithful. If you're taking care of somebody and their life is in your hands, remain faithful. They count on you. You're a lifeline. How about spiritually? You may be discipling somebody. You may be working with other believers. Maybe not a whole church full like we have here on Sundays, but in your daily walk, remain faithful to the people that God has put in your life. Look a little further. And now the prize awaits me. He knows what lies ahead. The crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. Are you eagerly waiting for the Lord to return? And to use that as the goal, and measure your life against that day, and be faithful in all that he's called you to do? Because you see, the day will come, and we will get the report. That's why we don't have to boast. I used to sing the song, How Great Thou Art, and then I changed it to How Great I Art. We don't want to go there.
Everybody paused.
Yes, indeed. Take a breather. But you know what I mean. You know, it's if you seek the praises of others, it feels good to get this. You all know that. We praise and thank God for each other often in the body of Christ. But we can't let it go to our head so that we get so out of focus that we can't help anybody, because we're all stuck on ourselves. Our Christianity, our faith walk, is about giving our lives away. We sow our life as a seed. And Paul did that. And that qualified him. He knew ahead of time. And I know by the Spirit that he knew about these crowns. And I remember reading when he didn't know which realm he was in, whether it was the third heaven or not. There were three heavens. The first heaven is the earth. The second heaven is the spiritual realm around the earth. And the third heaven is where the throne room is. And so if he wrote about this and knew when this crown was going to be given, then I would think that that was a revelation to him when he was, it's like having an out-of-body experience in his spirit, saw things in the heavenly realms. And that might have been the time that he became aware of this. But now we're aware of it because we read his testimony of what he saw. And we can glean from that, and that one day we will see what he saw and we will experience what he experienced. And some more notes about this crown. To those who love the appearing of Christ, who patiently wait. You see, you don't want to hurry up and, oh, I hope Jesus comes today. I can't go another day. Well, he's not going to come today unless it's ordained to. And we shouldn't pray that it will be today because there's so many lost people. That's why Jesus doesn't even know the day or the hour. So we shouldn't try to put God on a stopwatch. Oh, you can come today, Lord. I'm good. Yeah, but what about your grandmother? What about your grandchildren? What about your children? Wouldn't you like to see them saved and to know that they're going to be saved? So we don't want to hurry anything, but be looking for that day to come. He will return, looking forward to the day when he will return for his saints. Have you got familiar with realizing that the Bible calls you a saint if you're a believer? How does it fit? Does it make you feel like you don't measure up to be called a saint? Because you didn't get 3 miracles performed in front of the Pope to be confirmed to be a miracle? You experienced a greater miracle than that. You were there when you got born again. That's the greatest miracle we'll receive. How could God take who we were and what we were and made us brand new? What a miracle that is. And you get to be called a saint. Wow. Saint Ron from Virginia. Isn't that cool? Saint Don from Springfield. Saintess Barbara from Springfield. Saintess, no, we're all saints. And that's not of our doing, it's his doing. This crown is given to those who have lived a good and righteous life for God while living here on earth. Being quick to repent from things we know we did wrong or said wrong, keeping it under the blood of Jesus, because God said he forgets all those things and he doesn't look upon them anymore and he throws them as far as the east is from the west, so you don't have to go and drag all that stuff around with you. You're free. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. If you're a believer, you've been made righteous before God the Father as a result of Jesus dying on the cross for all of our sins. See, that's something else you are. You're the righteousness of God. God has declared you righteous. You know, those things are good motivators. The devil will tell you how his perspective is of you. I'd like to hear his conversation in hell when he's talking about you. You stay away from that person. I don't like being under their feet all the time. This means that the righteousness of Jesus has now been imputed to you. You're just as righteous as Jesus himself. Is that hard to swallow for anybody this morning? Have you really grasped the truth of that and the reality of that? That's powerful. That's some good news. I mean, you don't even have to turn your car radios on to hear some good news. Just come in here for 10 minutes and there's good news in this house. Let's see what else. When it's all said and done, these Christians will probably be receiving some of the greatest rewards that God can hand out once they enter into heaven. To faithfully live a righteous life for God will really have its rewards. A snippet, just a little glimpse, a little preview of the scriptural references that these crowns are for real. Next one is the crown of life. This one is awarded to they seem to be like in categories of depending on your gifted areas and your faithfulness to walk in those. We're not all called to do the same thing. And one's attentiveness to recognize and know why you're here in this life and to be faithful to walk that out. These crowns seem to be geared towards that particular area of your life that God notices in a good way. James chapter 1 in verse 12. James chapter 1 and verse 12. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. It's not a sin to be tempted, but it is if you yield to it. And God does not test us. If you continue to read the book of James, he'll tell you all about that. God is not the one that tempts us. To be tempted is to be lured, to have something pretty dangled in front of you to draw you away from your devotion and your affection for the Lord. And God doesn't do that. In fact, James said God tempts no man. So if you've mistakenly blamed God for the test of your faith, you're blaming the wrong guy. It's the enemy of your soul. He's the tempter. In fact, when you read Jesus' accounts of being tempted in the wilderness, it was the enemy that tempted him, wasn't it? To see if he could trip up his faith walk. That's right. So this is real key. Take this and really know that it's not God that's testing you. Why would he test you? He knows you. He created you. You're born again. He knows your character. He knows your spirit. And he's not going to dangle anything in front of you to draw you away from that relationship. We can do a good job of that all on our own, all by ourselves. We don't need to blame God for that. You need to redirect that the other way, okay? I'm serious about this because so many people, every time I talk to, oh, God's testing me today. Really? Did you pass? That's all you need to care about. Did you pass the test? Did you not yield to what the enemy tried to dangle in front of you or put before you to lure you away? Because that's what tempting and testing is. So really guard your walk, guard your hearts, guard what you see, guard what you hear. I might not be back here tomorrow to finish this, so take this today. It'll help you this afternoon, I'm sure. Okay, where are we going? Oh, the crown of life. The one who endures. Endure doesn't mean just to put up with something for 10 minutes before you lose your patience and throw a hissy, have a kite moment or whatever, like I've been there, done that, and afterwards it happens so fast I can't believe I'm the same person. But enduring, it means to be in it for the long haul. Our faith walk is for all the rest of the days that we're in these earth suits. So be in it. Endurance, go the distance. It shows us what we're made of. Afterward, Paul says in the same verse, and after that, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. In Revelation 2:10, this is the second verse that goes along with this. Now, you're probably not going to like this because Jesus said it. It's in red in my Bible. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison. And you may be there that you may be tested. And you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Now, I don't know the timeline of these things. I don't know the chronological order, how that's all going to play out. But just be aware, all over this world, even today, There are many brothers and sisters in the faith that are taking their last breath at somebody else's hands. And don't ever forget your brothers and sisters, because these things are happening even now as we're gathered here in a very peaceful and quiet place. Remember those that have walked before you, that have gone before you, and follow after them as they follow Jesus. And just be aware, and I've told you the last 3 years, in my spirit, I sense a period of troubling times, and to just be ready to endure that. Don't be afraid of those times. And that's still in my spirit. I know we had a big change in our elections, but it doesn't change what's going on in the spiritual realm. And it doesn't change what the Word has written. So that's not a happy word, but I can bring it with confidence, because like Paul said, we live in faith and we'll die in faith. End of story on this life. So make fullness of all the things that God has put in your life to bless you, to provide for you, to care for you, to use you as instruments in your Father's kingdom. For all the days of our life, we don't retire, we endure. Let's see what else. Okay, some notes. In my Bible, I have the open Bible, and all of these crowns, there are footnotes that go with them. Plus, there's loads of information you can follow if you'll just do your own research about these if you have that interest. But these are some of the notes for those believers who endure trials, tribulation, severe suffering, even unto death. This crown is also referred to as the martyr's crown. Have any of you ever heard that phrase? A few? Okay, so we're all on the same page with that. Jesus said that he would give this crown to those who undergo severe hardship, testing, tribulation, and or physical death on his behalf. Don't do a Jim Jones thing. That wasn't cool. He didn't do that for the glory of the Lord. And he gave the Kool-Aid to all of his followers and all the children, and we remember the Jim Jones massacre. That's not a love walk. If you're wiped out because of your faith, then it's all worth the cause. Probably being willing to die for your faith in God would be the ultimate sacrifice. I know too that personally that happened to within 2 weeks after I left India on one of the trips I was on. I got the photographs of their bodies in the morgue. It wasn't pretty, but I know where they are, because they were willing to do that. They knew that it was a risk. It was a high risk area. In fact, I can't go to those places anymore. They won't take me there. And on the one hand, I'm kind of sad that they don't, because I love going there. But on the other hand, I'm glad I came home in one piece and I didn't all cut up and be in Jana's suitcase that she brought in here. It's the greatest act of courage and love that you can show the Lord. Ask the 12 disciples. You know, they lived their life to the end. They didn't stop. Christians who have been martyred for their faith throughout history will not only be given this crown of life, but other rewards once they enter heaven. In fact, if you read the book of Revelation, there's numerous references when John had a vision and he said, who were all these people? Those are all the ones that were martyred and came out of great tribulation. They were killed during that period of time, and now they're with Jesus. I don't like to talk about this stuff either. It doesn't make me feel good. But it tells me that there's a serious side to our faith, and the stronger the conviction of our faith to know that we're walking the right path, if this should happen, I'm not going to worry about it. I just don't. I'm in that. It's like a bubble that surrounds me. If it happens, it happens. I don't go looking for it. But in the event that it does, I won't be here to worry about it with you. And you won't be here either. So come to that place where your faith is on the line and you know it and you realize it. And continue being faithful in your call. We have one more, the crown of glory. Ready for the last one? Hurry up, Rick. I want to go to Huggy Break. The crown of glory from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. And then we have a second one from Revelation 4, 10 through 11. But we'll do 1 Peter first, because it's first. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, New King James. The elders who are among you, I exhort. Now remember, this is Paul writing again. No, Peter's writing this. I exhort, meaning I encourage you. I, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. He was an eyewitness to the cross. And also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you. Now, that's speaking to elders. In the Bible, we spent a little bit of time talking about the controversy that some people have. They saw the word pastor one time, and everywhere else it's elders. So they came to the conclusion that there's no such gift in the body of Christ as pastors. So there's only four instead of five. So I can't dispute that. I know what I'm called to be, and you can call me whatever you will, but I prefer Rick. Okay? I will not feel slighted in any way, because I don't ever want to put a name or a title before my name. I know people do that out of respect, and it helps me get into hospital rooms when nobody's allowed in. It helps me get into a prison when nobody else can get in. It helps me to do funerals and weddings and things like that, but it doesn't do squat as far as the ministry that God has given all of us to do. But this is when you know what you're called to do, and this is for those of you who are elders in your congregations. If you've come out of another church and they have elders and deacons and offices like that, here we don't. Just if you see something that needs doing, just go ahead and do it. We didn't put names on all of those things. Maybe we should have. I don't know. But we haven't. So if you're an elder, this probably to ministers who faithfully feed the flock of God. So if you're a Bible school teacher or a Sunday school teacher or something where you're ministering the Word of God to people on a continual basis, then heed this, because this is speaking to those among us who do these things. Shepherds of the flock which is among you, serving as overseers. I tend to see that here personally, because I love to encourage the freedom that we have in Christ as we have our meetings together. And I'm reluctant to take a lot of praise when it all works out okay. But if something goes wrong, I'm the first to get the blame. So if that's you, join the crowd. Because, you know, when everything's going all right, then it's good. But as soon as something goes out of whack, you're going to be held responsible by your board or whoever you're accountable to. That's just the way it works. So, but he's talking to those of us that are in this role. And it says, not by compulsion, but willingly. I can relate to that. And there are a few others in this congregation that I personally know that can as well. Because we're on, if you're sharing similar gifts, you can relate to what he's talking about more easily than some of the others who are gifted in other areas that maybe we're not. So if I didn't mention you in this one, I will now, because you'll know if this is you or not. Willingly, not compulsion, not because I have to. Wow, in December, I won't be here because I won't have to be. For the first time in 16 years. And y'all will do fine. God has raised up some folks among us that are gonna carry on. And we may have to get the little one there on the bench to fill in for the drums. He's learning how to play drums, you know, so he can be useful. And not for dishonest gain. Wow. Boy, that's hard. You can truthfully say that you're not in it for the job. It's a call on your life. It's not a job. I've done a lot of jobs in my life, and this surely would not be one of them as a job. I think the worst one was working in a warehouse in Rutland handling mail in big 100-pound canvas mail bags, coming in on a pallet with a forklift into the back of a trailer truck, and for 4 hours, 100-pound canvas mail bags ripping the flesh off the ends of your fingers because you can't lift them with gloves. They slip out of your hand. And just when you think you're going to get a breather, in comes the forklift with another pallet. That was a painful job. I lasted 3 weeks. So if this was a job, I'd done really good, because it'll be 37 years in February. So. But I love being here. I love doing what I do. So I can relate to these. And some of you, you may as well. Some of you got the same call on your lives. So you can relate to this. So once again, this crown, hopefully, faith in faith, these will be one that will be for us. You all will get ones for your gifted area, so be of good cheer, because there's something for everybody. Oh, yes, and not as being lords over those entrusted to you. Boy, Jesus did a lot about leadership, and when he talked to his disciples about not lording over God's people, but submit yourselves and serve them. Well, I went to India to do a leadership seminar. I did it in 5 minutes and I was done, and they wanted to chuck me out of their country. They didn't want to hear that. They liked the adulation and the worship of their people, and they demanded of them, and they strut around like little proud peacocks in the village. And Pastor Sherrard asked me to do a leadership seminar, so the first thing I did was I washed all their feet, anointed their heads with oil, prayed for them, and they came unglued, because you don't lord over people. We're called to serve people. You know, always remember that. Jesus taught that. So, and it's, I don't know if I've ever told anybody what to do here, ever. I will always ask. I will never tell you. I will always ask. Because I'm here to serve you. And I'm good with that. I'm just talking. See, a lot of leaders don't talk like this to you. They like to have a wall and separate themselves back from the congregation. Even the church structure of the building is designed that way in a lot of places. I'd kind of want to stay away from there or stand on the other side of the fence. But you have to know, when we talk about stuff like this that involves every single one of us in this room, because we're the ones that we have today, but all over the world, there are going to be crowns for the believer when that day comes for you. There is something else to look forward to that's not just your salvation. And so I have to put the both sides in it, or it would be an off-balance teaching. You know, there's pluses, and then there's some that aren't so pleasant. But nevertheless, we'll go on. When the chief shepherd appears, the chief shepherd, Peter called him, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Now, that's just the verse. A couple notes about that. This is the pastor's crown and will be given to the ministers who faithfully feed the flock of God. These I got from the study notes in my Bible that go along with this. This probably could also include preachers, maybe like evangelists, that are maybe out in the public more than we are. Teachers, Sunday school teachers, missionaries, and all those who teach the word in their respective ministries. So if you go to a nursing home, we've been involved with that for a lot of years and years past until they asked us to not come anymore because there were other new churches in the area and they wanted to have them be able to come. So we had to be willing to step down and let somebody else step up and carry that ministry on. This crown may signify the importance and sacrifices of bringing up others into the ways of God. In other words, making disciples. Jesus talked about making disciples. That means you got to take the time to sow your life into the life of others. Not to follow you, but to follow Christ. God wants those who are saved to grow and learn as much as they can about Him, His Son, and His Holy Spirit. And to do that, He uses mature believers who are willing to teach others. So if that's you, keep doing it and be faithful and rejoice because there goes another crown. Keep your head small so they'll all fit. God can use you to teach and shepherd others. God shows you the extreme importance that He's placing on those who teach and preach the word. Being willing to teach and educate others after they're saved is one of the greatest things you can do for them, this side of heaven. And now, to the last and most fitting end of this particular crown, Revelation chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. And that'll be on the screen as well. And this is a, we have a photo, well actually it's a painting that I used as a background slide to a couple of the songs that Ken and Laurie bring. And it's about what heaven's going to be like, and it shows in the picture the elders all bowing down and they're laying their crowns at Jesus' feet. And so the implication of that is that's what we'll be able to do with the crowns that we get at the judgment seat of Christ. We'll be able to lay them at His feet because we won't need them anymore, really. They're just an award, but very significant in God's eyes. But it's not something that we keep. We lay them at His feet at the end when it's all said and done. Because he's the one who is worthy of all worship and everything that we could possibly give Him. We lay those crowns before Him. And the band Casting Crowns understands this very well, and that's why their group is called Casting Crowns, because some of them are leaders in their fellowships. Even in that group, there are a couple of them that are pastors, but they have this revelation that one day I'll be casting that crown at the Lord's feet. And that's how they got their name. I don't know how many of you knew the background of that, but this is where it came from. Very biblical. And so the 24 elders, this is the verse, Revelation 4, 10 through 11, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created." That's the verse. This is a little footnote these elders place their crowns at Jesus' feet? And if they do, would not all of us want to do more because of our love for him? As you can see, each crown is given to those who do a good work on his behalf, and it isn't to gain his favor, please understand that. It's a result of his Holy Spirit in us that the good work that's done is him working through us, and we're just an obedient, willing vessel to allow him to work through us. So don't get caught up in I got to do more weak works or God's not going to be happy with me. No, you let him work his works through you. As you can see, each crown is given to those, and it appears we will want to place whatever crowns we may have at the feet of Jesus when we come face to face with him. So, that's a lot to think about, but I don't spend all day thinking about it. It's just something that I keep in the background of my life. And now the seed has been sown. You have all the scriptures. You can find these at any time that you so choose to, and visit stuff like this from time to time when you're maybe not having one of your better days for a few moments. Don't let it go all day. You can go make yourself happy by finding things like these that the Lord has in store for you. Amen?